Hello, and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk to Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Jojo Gargano to the podcast. Jojo is the owner of The Tree King, formerly known as The Lawn King. Tell me a little bit about what y'all do. And you were telling me earlier that you started out as The Lawn King, and it's kind of morphed since COVID.
Yeah, so, I mean, when COVID hit, you know, I was in the restaurant business with my family. Obviously, COVID shut us down. You know, we tried to hold on as long as we could, and sitting at home just really wasn't an option for me. So I just kind of grabbed the trailer I had and a lawnmower and just started advertising for lawn care, you know. And I worked hard all that summer. I tried putting out a good reputation, a good name for myself, and it really took off.
Yeah.
You know, so for 2 years I did that, and I had a customer reach out, needed some tree work, and I said, okay, you know, I know a tree climber around here, and you know, we did that first job, and I just fell in love with it, you know, and we started exploring more into the tree care business, and then eventually we became the Tree King, you know, and we just haven't turned back since.
Yeah. So dealing with trees is quite a big difference from, you know, lawn care.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot more to it, especially when you're dealing with older trees or trees that have been damaged by all these storms that we've had in the past couple of weeks. How did you end up making that shift? Because, like I said, it is quite a bit different and requires a lot different tools.
Yeah, so it was definitely a really big learning curve. Lots of research, lots of late nights, just studying new ways of how to do things, proper protocols, safety protocols. It took a lot of reaching out. You know, I've had a lot of really good mentors that were local. Some of them have passed away now. I just learned from a lot of really good people. But, you know, my interest was and is always just high in the tree care business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, it was really joyful to learn everything. You know, I can't tell you how many nights I'd stay up just practicing, you know, tying knots, learning new rope tricks. And, you know, I mean, before this, I've never done this type of work before. You
right.
know, it's not like I had a grandpa that was a logger or any family that ever even really ran a chainsaw,
right.
you know. But, I mean, you know, I've struggled all my life trying to find something I loved. And once I did my first tree job, I just knew that this is for me. So it really was a big learning curve. A lot of things I was self-taught. A lot of things I've just researched and, you know, put it into my personal life and tried from there. So it's just something that I really do enjoy. Like I said, I had a lot of good mentors. I've learned from a lot of really good people, but I've also learned from a lot of mistakes. You know, we just learn as we go, and we try to do better, and we keep on pushing to do better. And I'd like to say now, even with, you know, 3 years under my belt, you know, I'm pretty skilled in what I do. I'm extremely confident in every tree that I get to work on, and there's not really a lot that scares me anymore. You know, I love the thrill of it. I love the adrenaline that comes from it, you know, and it's just a rush.
Yeah. What's been the thing that has been the most difficult for you, you know, in learning to in this business and getting started?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with finding the right people to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tree care and tree removals, it is a whole different monster than any other outdoor work I've ever done, you
right.
know. I mean, it will really just push you. It will push your employees, you know, especially in the heat or in the dead of winter when it's, you know, 30 degrees outside and you've got a 20 degree wind chill.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest and hardest part and the hardest learning curve was just learning how to do everything and learning how to do everything safely. You know, next to that, like COVID really messed up a lot of resale prices for equipment. You know, equipment is the biggest thing for me. I'm a firm believer in equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I think your equipment will take you the farthest. COVID really messed that up as far as pricing, you know, compared to what you could get a skid steer and a bucket truck for a couple of years ago. You can't touch one for that now.
Right.
You know, and so we just take it slow. You know, we try to save our money like anybody else. But I'm also very keen on reinvesting my money back into my business, you know, and that's turned to be very good for me. It's been a very good practice. And, you know, we're on a really good path right now. So, but that's definitely been the biggest struggle is, you know, finding equipment for a decent deal, saving money, and just finding good guys to work for you. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Right. You know, how many guys do you have that work with you
right
now?
So, when I first started, I had two. Obviously, I've been through probably 20 or 30 guys. You know, as of right now, we have a crew of five, including myself. I've got two backup climbers. We primarily operate with my bucket truck. So that's kind of our bread and butter is our bucket truck. But right now, it's four guys, five including myself, and they are all highly motivated guys. They share the same passion as I do for tree care, you know, and they really care about their job. They care about learning. And that's the biggest thing is just finding people that are willing to learn, willing to listen, and willing to do things your way. You know, I do all my own cutting. Mm-hmm. I do all the climbing. I've got one guy I'm training. He's a climber in training right now, you know, and he's got that same passion too. So it's real nice. It really blends well together as far as a solid working crew. You know, it's just one fluid motion.
Right. You know, you said that you do a lot of your own stuff. You're not a small guy.
No.
You know, and most of the time when you think about people that are climbing up in the trees and getting involved in this stuff, they're you know, usually scrawnier guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you and I definitely are not that.
No, I am not what you would consider like a good climber's body.
Right.
You know, that's why we've got some backup climbers. These guys have been doing it 20, 30 years, and, you know, they're obviously a lot smaller, a lot skinnier than me.
Right.
I like to call my, you know, guys in the bucket truck, we call ourselves the bucket babies.
Right.
You know, that's just kind of an industry term, and we all laugh at it. So, yeah, I don't really like to climb a whole lot, but on trees that, you know, we can't access, or if it goes a little bit taller than our bucket goes, then we just make it happen, you know. It's really funny, you know, now that I'm in the tree business, I've always been scared of heights.
Right.
Never liked heights. You know, if I'm just on a solid foundation, I'm good. And you kind of learn to get over that. It's really fun for me. You know, I truly do enjoy it. And, you know, I put that pride in what I do over my fear. And it's worked really well, you know. And it's brought me a lot of personal growth into who I am as a person. You know, how far am I willing to believe in myself? And how far I'm willing to push myself?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of days where I just want to quit, but we still keep going.
Right. You know, you mentioned that you had this fear of heights, you know, and in this kind of business, one would automatically think, well, that means I would be the person on the ground running things and not be up involved in it. But, you know, to be able to still be up there and do what you do, that says a lot about your dedication to what you do and how much you enjoy doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I say I love what I do, I mean, I truly love what I do. You know, I've always struggled all my life trying to find a passion. I didn't go to college. I barely graduated high school. You know, I never liked being in a classroom. You know, once I found something that I can be outside all the time, I can make good money from it, I get a lot of personal enjoyment out of it, I said, screw everything else, you know, we'll work out the rest of it. So here we are now.
Yeah.
Tune in to Check Out, the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So you mentioned tree care and you mentioned removal. You know, what's probably the biggest thing that you do right now?
We're doing, as of right now, you know, with all the storms, we've got a lot of trees on houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think it's a little bit easier. You know, a lot of customers think that it's easier for us since the tree is already on the house. And it's a very skillful game you got to play. It's kind of like chess, you know, because once you cut a piece off, you can't put it back on.
Right.
You know, and It's a big teeter-totter, you know, because here's the thing is, all even though the roof is already damaged and maybe the structure of the house is already damaged, you don't want to cause any more damage because right. then you become liable for that damage, you know. So it's a lot of learning. You really got to pick and choose what you're doing. You got to take your time with it, you know, and I've gotten, like I said, again, you know, a lot of good mentors that have really shown me the ropes. You know, and we just kind of take off with it. You know, I mean, I love having a tree on a house. It's a new experience. Mm. You know, the guys love it, and we just have a good time with it.
Right. When you first had to deal with something like a tree on a house, was there a little bit of trepidation, you know, a little bit of fear going into it? Because, like you said, there is the possibility of being liable for any additional damage.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was very nervous the first time we did it. The first time I got my feet wet with it was when this tornado or big storm mm-hmm. passed through in Little Rock.
Right.
You know, we teamed up with a local contractor and we just started hitting 4 or 5 houses a day. And, you know, he's been doing this 20 years. So he showed me a lot of good things about it, taught me a lot of do's and don'ts, what to watch out for. You know, so I really rely on all the lessons I've learned and all the lessons that have been, passed down to me. You know, and we rely heavy on that because I'm a firm believer that, you know, real world experience is what's going to take you out there. You know, but it's a very skillful game and you really got to know what you're doing. You know, I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of pounds just leaning on one cut, you know, and that tree, as soon as you get done cutting, I mean, it can go wherever it wants. It can go straight to you, straight up, and, you know, you can be dead in a heartbeat and not know it.
Right. When it comes to dealing with storm damage, you know, you mentioned the fact that it can depend on one cut, and it can do a lot more damage. It can mm-hmm. end up killing you if you, you know, cut is wrong or the log rolls. But I know a lot of times when you're trying to deal with that, you know, you've got a lot of your neighbors trying to come out and help, but that's not, while it can be good, it's not always the best idea, you know, as an individual, correct?
Yeah. You know, definitely when you see a tree crew working, and especially when we're working, you know, we kind of take control of the scene, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like an officer does when they're pulling someone over, or they're investigating something, you know, that's their scene. Everybody needs to respect that space. And that's exactly what we do, you know. Even with the homeowners, you know, we tell homeowners, you know, stay out of the way, get out of the house, go, you know, go have lunch or something. But mm-hmm. This is our scene now. It's almost like our house now.
Right.
You know, let us do our job. You know, the same way you would let a firefighter take control of taking over a house fire. You know, we ask for that same respect when we're on a job taking a tree off a house or off a power line or just a tree removal in general. You mm-hmm. know, we're very keen on keeping everybody out. You know, blocking driveways, blocking roads if we need to, directing traffic. You know, we really take control of the scene while we're there because I don't want to be liable for somebody getting hurt. And I already have, you know, 4 guys to look out for when I'm 60 feet in the air.
Right.
You know, that's the last thing I need as a customer or somebody nosy or even just somebody trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand people are always wanting to help or volunteer something, but, you know, a lot of these guys, like, we're trained professionals, and we do a very serious job, and people can get hurt very quick. So we try our best to keep people out, you know, but we always have a homeowner that'll just come up and watch or, you know, take videos, and that's always cool with us. We don't mind that, you know. It's kind of fun having an audience watch you, you know, just right. as long as everybody's a safe distance away.
Yeah. So when it comes to tree removal and that kind of stuff, you know, whether it's on a house or it's, you know, just a tree that needs to come out either because it's dead or, you know, sick or something like that. What happens to the wood? Because, I mean, you know, sometimes it might only be, you know, a couple of feet across. Sometimes you're looking at, you know, 3 or 4 feet of
yeah,
a tree.
Yeah, and I get asked that all the time, you know, what are you doing with all this wood? Where do you take it? How come you're not selling it? You know, and a lot of that falls into logistics, and a lot of people don't understand is, you know, like when we're loading our trailers, you know, we load everything in it. I'm talking about from every of the smallest twig, leaves, to the biggest tree trunks that have been, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have some local guys that we partner up with that will, take a load of wood. You know, sometimes we'll take the time. You know, I've got a couple acres of property that we dump a lot of the wood at. And then we'll come back at a later time. If somebody wants it, I'll come deliver it for free. I don't mind. You know, either that or we just go to the local landfill and we pay to dump it out there. Or we have the Hot Springs compost facility where they turn all of that into compost and wood chippings that they resell. You know, so there's a lot of angles to go about with it. But we get, I mean, like I said, we just get asked all the time, well, what are you doing with all this wood? Why would you throw it away? And it's like, well, what am I going to do with keeping it? I mean, you know, not everybody wants to take a full load of brush with a couple logs in it. And it's it doesn't make sense for me to separate everything and make all these extra trips just to get somebody a load of wood, you know. Sometimes it just makes more sense just to pay to dump it all and be done with it and move on to the next one.
Yeah. Do you ever, you know, leave some of it, you know, kind of split up, you know, for a homeowner that might have, you know, a fireplace and wants firewood like that?
Yeah, we do that all the time. You know, we offer, like, my big thing is I don't like wasting customers' money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I have a customer that's trying to save some money or, you know, trying to work within a budget, you know, I'm all about it. And if I can save my customer money, I'm for it. You know, and a lot of these guys are not. They'll just try to milk everything they can. So we do offer discounts. If a customer just wants a tree fell and have the pole just blocked up into firewood sized pieces, we'll do that for them and we'll leave it there. We'll put it in a nice pile. You know, and we'll try and help our customers out. And it saves them some money and saves us some work, honestly.
Right.
You know, it saves us time and gas and having to file some more chains. And, you know, it kind of works out for everybody.
Right. So when you're dealing with a downed tree, the biggest thing that gets left behind is a stump.
Yes.
Do you do any kind of stump removal? And if so, you know, what kinds of things do y'all do?
So, you know, besides just primary tree removal, you know, we do get left with these giant stumps or just stumps in general that customers want out. We have a local guy that we partner up with. He's a very good friend of mine. He's got a stump grinder. And, you know, he does it just for such a good price. It doesn't make sense for me to even rent one or buy one. You know, I'd rather not at this point and just let him deal with it. So, you know, we have our ways around everything. And, you know, if a customer wants a stump grinded, I'll just factor it into the price. And as soon as we got the thing out, then my stump grinder is there getting it done for them. So we make everything happen for our customers. And, you know, as I tell my customers, if I can't do it, more than likely I know somebody that does. And I'm all about just getting the job done, whether I can do it or not.
Right. Obviously, right now, you know, you're probably a little bit busy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with all these storms, like we mentioned earlier. But if somebody's interested in, you know, hiring y'all, do you do any kind of, you know, estimates and about how much does that run?
So I've always been the biggest supporter of free estimates. You know, I don't think anybody should have to pay to have someone come out just to tell you how much the work is going to be. You know, and I've been a real big advocate on that. And, you know, here's the thing is we travel all over the state of Arkansas, and I will go as far as I've got an estimate tomorrow in Story, you know, that I'm doing completely for free. You know, I'm not going to charge people for me to come out to try and earn your business.
Right.
You know, I've always just been real keen on that, and it's always worked out. You know, I've had people offer me gas money or offer me this, and I don't take it. You know, I'm a man of my word, and I believe on putting that in my business as well. If I say it's free, it's free.
Right.
You know.
So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
So the best way is my personal number, which is 501-276-0182. You know, if I don't answer, more than likely I'm up in the bucket and I can't answer. You know, I'm always real good with either text messages or voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a internet page.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's thelawnandtreeking.com. Okay. We also have a Facebook page at The Tree King. We're very responsive on it. I've got people that just wait for the messages to come through. We're very good with setting up appointments and getting things done for our customers. Okay. So we're real easy to get a hold of. You know, I'll have people just text me out of the blue or message me on Facebook, and it all just comes straight to my phone.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming by and
talking
to me.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. You know, this has been a cool first interview I've had, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.
Hey, podcast listeners. We've got a special deal just for you, $4.99 for 2 months, and it includes all of our digital access. I'm talking about all of our online content, our daily news clips, our puzzle library, and so much more. This is valid for new subscriptions only, so if you've been waiting to try it out, now's the time. Visit the link, hotsr.com/podcast23 to get this great deal.